this is Paige Hattie with CBM Connect, and today we are here with Matt Bujak, who is a manager at Hansford Sensors. Matt is a graduate of mechanical engineering and mechatronics at AGH University in Poland, and afterwards he joined a program with Illinois Institute of Technology in Chicago in the United States. Matt has been involved in vibration diagnostics for more than 10 years, and he was initially responsible for wind turbine remote diagnostics. Afterwards, he focused on the commissioning of online systems and furthering its development. Matt joined Hansford Sensors in 2009, and he is currently responsible for the central and eastern parts of Europe, Scandinavia, and Canada. He enjoys supporting his partners and customers, and he is always interested in challenging examples of troubleshooting and advanced analysis. Today, we are going to speak with Matt about the evolution of vibration sensors. Hi, Matt. How are you doing today?
Thank you very much. I'm very, very well, and I'm pleased to have the opportunity to talk about interesting things.
Yes, definitely. So we're going to dive right in. So to get us started, can you tell us a little bit about how the vibration sensors market has developed over the last 10 years or so?
Oh, this is a good question and good point, because I'm actually for 10 years active in that market. So this is all my story, you know, plus minus 1 year, let's say. So I have been experiencing this development on myself, trying to put the education into the people about vibration sensors. And I think that the biggest change is about the awareness. So there is a very, very popular awareness of the vibration sensor, and we need to measure vibration, why we need to measure vibration, why we want to know more about the vibration. Because 10 years ago, it was quite common that most of the machines, newly installed machines, were not equipped with vibration sensors. They were even not equipped with the vibrating points. And at the moment, it's very natural that all the new assets, especially critical, but also not only critical, are coming with the vibration sensor pre-installed. So first point is that people are aware that the installation of the sensor on the machine can be more expensive than a sensor. It's causing the problems, so it's very valuable to have it pre-installed. And it's become more understandable. In terms of sensor itself, there is not a big change internally inside of the sensors. So still we are measuring in the same way. We are measuring the same. What's great that we are focusing on, you know, measuring accurately, measuring properly, and measuring the frequency range which is needed. But the new design, like MEMS and like wireless sensors, they have made a change to the market, which caused the bigger popularity of the sensors. But unfortunately, there were many examples where those sensors were not used correctly. So there is a big knowledge behind vibration sensor usage, which has to go in common with the sensor itself. And we have to know the differences between the frequency range, and each solution has got plus and minuses. So summarizing, has the size of the sensor changed? No, because the size is not really the matter of the physical abilities of the manufacturing, but rather ability of the resistance on the in the industrial environment. So the sensor has to be robust. And the next point, has the transmission changed? Yes and no. There are more and more wireless solutions and low-powered sensors are in bigger need, but still 95% of the sensors which are on the market are ICP, EEPE powered, so used for data collection and acquisition for monitoring and diagnostic purposes. So I would say that changes are in awareness, and changes are in the people knowledge about, rather than in sensors itself.
Got it. It's crazy to see how things like that have evolved over the past few years. So then what would your advice be to someone when it comes to selecting the correct type of sensor and installation?
This is the good and interesting point. And the same selection and the same installation was selected for customers 10 years ago, and it's selected at the moment. So as I said before, the sensor must be robust. So we want the sensing element to be installed in a good position, to be there for a long time, and to be the less failure element of everything. Sensors are protecting the equipment and assets, and we don't want them to cause us any problems. So they have to be robust. They have to be well selected to fit the size and shape. That's why sensors are available in different bodies, having even the internal part the same. Also, they have to meet the environmental requirements. So we have to be sure that the IP rating is correct, that the resistance for electromagnetic field of the screened cable is proper, that the temperature of the ambient environment is not too high enough for the sensor possibilities. So the sensors with integrated 420 milliamp circuit will have a limited, for example, temperature range, and then this element has to be taken into a PLC board's wardrobe rather than to be on the machine. But we have to make sure that we meet the requirements which are on the machine. And I think this is the biggest clue.
Great. So then how do you suggest that someone go about selecting a vibration manufacturer?
Selecting the vibration manufacturer, there is not too many of them, being honest. So there are a few companies making the sensors. There are much more having the sensors in their portfolio. The sensor manufacturers itself, they are focused on making the sensors and all the accessories which are around the sensor, which help you to install the sensor, to fit the sensor, to have a cable connector box, and to test the sensor and the installation point. And they focus on it, not going into solutions, because obviously sensor manufacturers cannot compete with their own customers, which are the system integrators and system builders. So when you select the sensor manufacturer, you have to be sure that the sensor manufacturer knows what they are doing. So they have got the knowledge. They are not just only selecting the product from the catalog and portfolio, but they are having a very knowledgeable team inside, which can be very helpful and giving a good hints, recommendation, and helping to sort out all the issues, problems, and questions which customer can have. This is, I think, the biggest winner. Also, the flexibility of the adopting of the existing portfolios, it's the next strong point, because all the machines are not the same. The machines are different. As we said, the environment is different, and we have to be able to have a sensor which will fit the requested parameters on site. And you cannot have one sensor in portfolio. And it's funny because the sensor catalog with one manufacturer can be like 4,000 positions. I don't know if you are aware about this, but then it's very easy to be lost in the products. So a good hint, good catalog, good website to find the proper solution, good white papers, good knowledgeable people, this is the clue. Also, the lifetime warranty is quite standard, but how you respect that warranty, this is very important. So no quibble policy, it's important. The sensors are not failing itself because they are tested on the manufacturing project and they are tested when they are shipped. But it's always to be sure that you are receiving the best service, because this has to be the element which is the most reliable and it's not influencing any problems because it's a problem solver.
Got it. So then do you feel like innovation is needed in vibration sensors?
In my opinion, it is needed in the solution layer. So as you have got the layers in a, I don't know, networking, here we have got also the layer. So the first layer, it's a, for me, a good installation of the sensor. this layer, can it be innovative? I don't think so. It has to be right. It has to have a flat surface. It has to have a perpendicularity. The base of the sensor has to be touching the flat surface of the machine. So we are having a good mechanical path between the machine where the signal about the malfunctions comes from and the sensing element inside of the sensor. Then the next layer is the sensor itself. So should the sensor be innovative? I think, and I treat the sensor a little more like the layer of the installation of the sensor. It has to be right. It has to be proper. It has to measure correctly. It has to have a good settling time for offline measurement. It has to have a proper frequency range. It has to have a proper temperature resistance. It has to have a good Faraday caging. It has to have a good signal to noise ratio. It has to be robust in terms of the sensor body. But in my opinion, this is the sensing element. And what will be done with that signal further, this is something which the next layer is responsible for. So there is an innovation, how to transmit that signal. So if that signal can be only taken with the wire, or if that signal has to be taken wirelessly. So the innovation which can come in the sensor, it's only up to that layer. This is my policy and my vision about this. So we can do the sensors which are limited in the energy consumption, which are helping to be used with battery powered solution. We are able to deliver sensors which are using energy harvesting for having given a battery-less installations, because battery is also a next problem. So the customer has to worry about the machines, why he has to have another worry about battery. So energy harvesting, it is the really, in my opinion, the clue and the way to go. Not yet there at the moment, but this is the innovation which, in my opinion, can come.
Excellent. So then our last question for today, Matt, just to wrap everything up. So if ISO standards finishes its interest at 1 kilohertz, then why do most sensors measure much higher than that?
Okay, it's a good point. It's a good question. Because ISO standard, it is the most popular standard which people are reflecting to. And this is also why the vibration measurements became more and more popular, because people want to know about machine conditions. We are talking about predictive maintenance. We are talking about Industry 4.0 and IoT. So we want machine to talk. What machine can talk about? They can talk about how they feel and when they will need to be repaired. So what are the symptoms which can be, you know, translated from the machine words into understandable way, having the most information? This is the vibrations. And the vibration will need a translator in form of the diagnostic specialist who can read the spectrum and tell what is really feeling bad in that machine. Or we can have levels, which is a vibration level. And then people who are not a vibration expert, they also want to know about it. So there is an ISO standard, fortunately, which is telling about the limits of the general vibration when machine is okay, not so okay, and wrong. So due to the fact that there is something which is standardized, which is something which people can reflect to, it become more and more popular because it was much, much easier to understand. And diagnostic people, they do not treat ISO standard seriously. Why? Because in ISO standard, we will see the malfunctions of the machine very, very late. So it will be more good for a protection system and for general monitoring than for diagnosis. And with the vibration sensors looking much, much above 1 kilohertz, we are looking into bearing conditions, which will tell us about 3 other stages of the bearing failure, which are having much bigger time for us to plan, to schedule, to know about the degradation of the components inside of the machine. Also, where we are having a gear mesh frequency on high speed machines, the gear mesh and all the other harmonics will be much above 1 kHz. So 1 kHz is a fantastic range for velocity, while how the ISO standard is formed, and 420 milliamp sensor are giving that information in the frequency range. But when we want to diagnose, actually, when we want to look inside, when we want to understand where are the malfunctions of the bearings, gearboxes, higher speed machines, or cavitation in pumps, or everything what's interesting, not so nice to see, but interesting that we can actually see it before it will, you know, destroy the machine. This is much above. We have to also remember that installation of the sensor on a magnet, on a spike, and on a screw is affecting the frequency range. So it's not only about the selection of the sensor with a proper frequency range, but it's also about how we install that sensor. It will, like a combination, will give us the full frequency range. Thank you.
Excellent. Well, thank you for your time today, Matt. We really appreciate it.
I was very glad that I can share it. This is a passion for me, so I'm not working because I have to. I'm passionate about vibration measurements. I'm very happy that this is developing. I want to know as much about this as I can. And I think that this is one of the such part of the engineering which is a never-ending story. So you cannot never say that you're an expert in everything. I'm learning every day and I love it. There is a plenty of the knowledge around. I have done end of last year the ARP certification, which is explaining a little more about why we measure vibration on that machine, not on the other, which comes from the criticality analysis and all the aspects which are around vibration. So you cannot just know about vibration measurement. You have to understand a lot of things which are around, and this is never-ending story, and this is the best in this.
That's great. Well, because it's never-ending, hopefully we can talk to you again and see where vibration sensors are at and in the future.
Of course, I'm very, very pleased to share my experience. So I was not so lucky when I started my journey to have a lot of the knowledge easy provided. And I'm the first one to say and admit that Mobius have been doing a great job on the courses. I'm a VIP2 certified, so I have had an experience to know about this from the biggest expert in the world in teaching about vibration, and I'm also sharing my private experiences and my passion around.
That's fantastic. Well, thank you for your time, Matt. We really appreciate it.